It's the boss in Quake 4.
Of course. Somehow it found its way into your mini disc player.
Ken, you must get out of there!
And then the coolest thing in video games happens. You get converted into their creatures.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
I saw that for the first time when you were playing through it and fucking gave me heart palpitations. So intense. Legs getting cut off with skill saws and shit.
Back in the day when my computer was okay.
It was pretty decent. I remember we opened it up, though, and it was backwards.
Yeah.
Like the motherboard's facing the wrong way. And
yeah.
Hard drives at angles.
Yeah. You know, that thing is still rocking. It's the only thing that's original is the processor and the... Nope, it's just the processor now. It used to be the processor and the keyboard, but I finally got a new keyboard.
Oh.
It's wireless.
Oh, dude, check out this wireless keyboard.
Ooh, you know what? I have this exact one. No, it's a little different. But I have one of these candy bars. It's good. Does this one have Bluetooth or just Wi-Fi?
That one's... not Wi-Fi, it's 2.4 gigahertz or whatever.
Huh. Cool.
But having a TV remote for your computer is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Especially when you're laying on the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Android has an app that makes your cell phone a wireless mouse and keyboard.
Is that local, though?
Yeah, like, through your network. Like, you connect to Wi-Fi, and then it does it on your computer. It's pretty rad.
So I was thinking, like, so it sends a signal up to a satellite that says, move your mouse pointer one pixel, and then back down to you just to get across the room.
Yeah. No, it's Wi-Fi. I think you can even do it Bluetoothfully, but why you got Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Some computers have Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Feature. Nobody really uses it, though, for anything but, like, weird headphones and...
I use it to... I have weird headphones, I have to admit, and I do like those weird headphones. But I use it for transferring apps between my cell phone and tablet, because I don't have internet at home, but I have internet on my phone.
So you don't even need your desktop computer, huh?
No, it's just a big jukebox, basically, nowadays.
Man... There's some pretty serious shit you could put on it to make it like a... What do you call those? I guess it's basically an Xbox. I used to be more impressed with those things.
Yeah.
Putting a 200 megahertz computer in the trunk of your car so you can listen to MP3s on your stereo! Now they all do that.
Yeah.
In my day.
Back 15 miles uphill both ways. No shoes on. In the snow.
Shoes. It was the Ice Age. They had to ride mammoths,
burrow ice blocks to build your igloos.
And that was the schoolhouse.
Mm.
Man. And you were glad you were there.
Hard days.
I don't know. I think you can live pretty good in an igloo.
Probably. It's... I'd imagine it stays pretty warm even though you're surrounded by ice.
Because you keep breathing out into that air bubble that you got.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly warming it. Slowly melting it.
Yeah, but then it gets into like an ice sheet on the inside. And I think that's when the true heat trapping begins. Because then it's cold enough on one side to keep it cold or frozen.
So
I
then... The logical extension of this is there must be some pretty seriously warm pockets underneath Antarctica.
As long as there's something in there to heat it, I'd imagine, like a body.
I know they have volcanic vents down there.
That would probably do it.
But just the life forms, right?
Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about some heavy or some light?
Both.
How about?
Do you have something in mind for either of those?
Well, I got a lot of things rattling around up there. Like, you know, we got on the heavier side, we got like the JFK and, you know, like Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove.
That's one that I don't know much about. What's that shit?
The Bohemian Grove is, like this, camp or a resort's a better way of putting it. It's like a resort for, you know, the social elites, and they had some pretty crazy rituals there.
Is this the one where it's like the 12 most powerful businessmen get together to plan the world?
That's the Bilderberg group, all pretty much the same but in a different location.
It might be that they are all the same organization.
No, they're
having
all
different meetings.
All the same people, yeah. The social elites and the world owners and things like that. Anyway, Alex Jones creeped in and videotaped them doing one of their weird rituals.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, the video is really weird. And it's hard to justify just on the video alone. But then if you go and, like, look at reaction videos of people that probably would go there or have been invited or just, you know, it's kind of public knowledge that they've gone to these type of things, when questioned about the, you know, what goes on to it and in there, they're all very secretive about it. And, you know, when someone's super uptight about what something that should be pretty easy to talk about, it's kind of a, you know, kind of a giveaway. So, you know, you got these people getting questioned in front of a video camera, and they get a little freaked out and uptight and don't want to answer the questions. So, just makes me think like it's all real. It's hard to think of anything else, really.
So, when they're questioned, excuse me, fuck. Do they react like panicky or like
kind of like the, you know, like
serious maybe?
Oh man, I gotta get out of here. I don't want to talk about this. Da, da, da. It's
they get zinged by it instantly.
Yeah, they like you. They totally get just their mood gets switched off, and they don't want to talk. They just want to leave. They come up and all smiles, and when they, hey, so we heard you were at Bohemian Grove one time. That's a public a private kind of meeting thing, so we can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Nothing happens there. If nothing happens, why don't they want to talk about it?
That's really weird, because you would think that you just present it like the Shriners or the Elks or something like that.
Yeah.
Fraternal organization.
We were sitting by the swimming pool having margaritas. But no, we don't hear anything. Not even like that. So that's pretty weird. And like I said, Alex Jones was the one that really kind of popped the lid on that one. And then
So he videotaped a ritual of some kind?
It was kind of like a theatrical type thing where like they were praying to this big... they were doing their ritual for this big owl. It reminded me a lot of the Wicker Man.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Not the bees.
At the very end, when they like light the guy on fire.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anybody in this giant owl that they lit on fire or whatever. But it's like
it's still scary because it's such an absurd thing to do.
Well, and it's like really kind of satanic. Like, you know,
yeah.
You go to church and it's like, Heavenly Father, and then they, like, sing or something. I don't know.
It's pretty just, like, gooey.
Yeah.
Not
This is weird, and it's dark. And,
well,
you know, if the video alone, it, like I said, it's pretty hard to prove. And, you know, if they did pull that off, props to Alex Jones, because that's, you know, good job on pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, if it's fake. But I kind of lean towards the real side of things.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, people do some weird fucking shit.
Yeah.
There's, it's a lot like, you were talking about the Wicker Man. People used to worship the god Moloch with a big gold statue with its arms out, and it had a brazier in the bottom, like a, so they'd stoke a big fire. And this statue would heat up, and the way they worship is they put a child in the arms of the statue. What? And it slowly burns to death.
Whoa.
And they beat a whole bunch of drums and chant and shit just to drown out the screams. And these are our ancient ancestors.
So, apparently, like, I'm not sure if it was the Bilderberg group or Bohemian Grove, but apparently, like, Clinton and Hillary and both Bushes, and I think even Reagan.
Oh, is that Skull and Bones?
No. Well, yeah, they had that too. So that's another thing that's kind of crazy.
Ooh.
But, so a lot of people that were in the Skull and Bones were also part of the Bohemian Grove, and they're all part of the Bilderberg group, which is part of the Illuminati.
All of these names are just describing one common shadow organization, or
probably, it seems like.
I feel like it probably goes so deep and is so hierarchical that
we might not
it's
even know.
Not like, yeah. An organization might be too big of a descriptor, like maybe a family or a few families.
Like the Rockefellers and Morgans, the JP, or whoever was here to the JP Morgan.
Yeah. They have remained influential and descended from influential people. It's really weird.
I don't like that.
I heard that you can trace back all of our presidents to one family.
Yeah. About as long as use the females, too.
If you...
Because a lot of times they just use the male names. But if you go back with the female names, you can trace everybody back. Except for one. And he was like 10 or 15 presidents ago.
We're not supposed to have a nobility, though, right? Oh.
No, we're supposed to be a pretty free-thinking country, but obviously we're not.
Though I suppose if you go back far enough, we all come from a common family. Like, they do the mitochondrial DNA test, and there's only, like, 10 or 5 different ancient grandmothers.
But here's
it's all maternal.
Here's something that's really strange. The families that they traced them back to were royalty. Like, it's one royal family that's been traced back to.
That are the presidents?
Yeah. And, like, the world leaders are pretty much all traced to one crazy bloodline.
I wonder if that's common with, like, the Japanese emperor. They trace their lineage back to some of the gods.
I don't know.
And, like, pharaohs and such.
I think... I don't know. But it'd be cool to find out.
So, okay, here's what happened. Survivors from Atlantis dispersed themselves throughout the world, but because of their relatively advanced technology compared to the rest of us, they could coordinate and keep in contact. So they Twittered each other for 1,000 years, and inevitably their descendants intermingled from being together in exclusive organizations.
Bush's final term was up, and we were getting ready to decide who was going to be running for Democrats, Hillary or Obama, they both disappeared and went to a Bilderberg group meeting, and then where some people say they decide which one of them was going to be president instead of, you know, taking the popular vote because it was, like, neck and neck. But apparently this happens, like, every single time. They have to get approval from the group, and then they can go be president. So.
I'm hearing a lot of buses go by. So they do that, and Obama got 2008 and 2012, mm-hmm. and Hillary got 2014, 16, whatever it is.
Maybe. But she's...
16.
She's supposed to testify on, I think it's the LIBOR scandal. Have you heard about that one?
Which one is that?
That's the one where they take, like, the average from, like, a bunch of banks, and then they...
Right, the one where they were emailing each other to, like, hey, make sure that it would be favorable if the Deutsche Mark was worth less today.
Planned implosion.
I can kind of understand how that would evolve, but
too far.
It's either... They're either stupid to mess with it, because it will end up collapsing. Because, I mean, just the information getting out could collapse it if everybody figures out, oh, that doesn't actually mean anything. Then we're going to have to start stamping coins again. Made out of gold and bullshit like that.
Carry a satchel for your coins. A pouch. A coin pouch.
a purse. Around your... ridiculously large leather belt that has a sword on it. It's coming back.
There's no belt loops on pants like that, I bet. The belt was purely
you have to use suspenders.
But you still had this ridiculously large leather belt.
Yeah, because it just goes around you like a weightlifter belt or whatever.
It keeps my back straight when I swing my sword.
Oh man, you might throw out your back big time if you had like a big broadsword trying to chop someone off a horse.
That's why they had the big belts.
Raise your hands up. I can't move.
And then you get an axe in the chest from the horse.
Yeah,
rider.
Or like somebody conks you on the head with a big fucking mallet.
Yeah, man, things were vicious back then.
Something, you know how there was that recent shooting? And there was some other violent events. Those firemen got shot at.
That was weird.
That's a weird one.
Two of them are dead.
I've heard a lot of people talking about how we got to do something about our violent culture. That, you know, because of video games and kids have practiced.
Maybe we should take all the people off these crazy antipsychotic drugs and get them the help they need.
Yeah, there's a list on the internet of school shootings going back to the early 90s, before Columbine, and it has the antidepressants the kids were described.
Yeah. Serotonin supplement uptake inhibitors or something.
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Yeah, all of them have one of those. From the Columbine until now, I know that.
I think Prozac has, they all say they can cause suicidal thoughts and actions and all that shit.
Aggression?
The fact that, like, it doesn't make them just commit suicide. They get this fucked up idea in their head that they should go kill a bunch of people.
Because the fucking drugs that they're on that are prescribed by doctors. I mean, they think they're doing good, but holy crap, let's not do that.
You don't fuck with your brain, pal.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it. I got a trip to Mars.
Brain butchers, didn't you?
They tried to kill me, but I killed them. I find that Arnold Schwarzenegger must not ever move his jaw. So if you can make people do a half-decent Schwarzenegger impression just by telling them, don't move your teeth.
Yeah, it's true. You keep it so you can't say every syllable. Then you eat the sausage like Conan. This feeling of calming.
Austria must be weird to overhear conversations in. Just walking down the street, both boys and girls talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Where were we?
Somewhere back with the Bilderberg groups and things like that.
Oh, yeah, so you have these huge leather belts.
Throw out your back. Axe in the chest.
Their meddling could easily collapse the economy.
Yeah, well, I think...
Or, well, eliminate economy, really.
Peakresources.org has a video out that talks about the drought that we've had in the States for the last 2 years and how our food supplies are... We pretty much have no... We're living year to year right now. We have no room for error. If things go bad, they're
gonna
go bad.
And there is no way we can be self-sufficient the way we're all packed in like sardines.
That's the idea. So we're easily controlled.
I need a giant tower that has all these mirrors on it that reflect sunlight into hydroponics rooms that are entire floors of the... That's the only way I can see to feed, well, everybody, or to let everybody feed themselves, is to build up.
Mm. Yeah, we don't use any vertical space.
They tried it, well, they've done some experiments, but nothing that was production level. Also, with Peak Resources, I don't know about the website, but we're running out of certain chemicals. Like, we've almost used up all of our helium.
Really?
Because it can escape our atmosphere. So if it leaks, like...
All the balloons that we give the kids and they let go.
That shit, we probably should stop doing. Because it slowly leaks out of the rubber and makes its way up the atmosphere and is swept away into the universe.
Hmm.
And, like, if an MRI coolant, that's all helium, if that leaks, you lose a shitload. It's concentrated liquid helium.
And that's on the back of the refrigerators, right?
No, that's Freon. This is inside MRIs
to cool
the magnet when they start it up.
Huh.
So that, it's a considerable amount of power going through you if it superheats the magnet to the point where they need to use helium to cool it.
Those things, big-ass machines.
And then some intern knocks into it with a sharp object and... And you can't recapture it. I mean, you can sort of get... I don't even know how they grab it out of the atmosphere. Shit like that, we're gonna run out of. The Earth is finite.
This is totally off topic, but I think I touched on it at the end of an episode one time. The insurance for the World Trade Center, like the 1 or 2 months before the towers were hit by the planes, the owner of the World Trade Centers took out insurance policy specifically for terrorist attacks by planes.
You did mention that.
And he ended up making like 100 times what... It's just ridiculous. Like, he got like $6 billion.
So he got paid off to let the federal government do a false flag operation so that we could destroy Iraq and occupy Afghanistan.
And possibly even cripple the economy. Like, it might have been planned. I mean, the attack alone is pretty severe, so is it really that far to judge? Because most of the time, businesses like Hostess, it's cheaper for them just to close the doors rather than make it up to par.
Yeah, true.
So if all these rich assholes get winded, like, oh, they're going to start amping up my taxes, they're just going to take their loot and jump ship to another country that's not going to do that to them.
That's happened a lot already.
Yeah.
Like the Foxconn thing. It's cheap labor. Because the Chinese apparently don't give a fuck about the working conditions. And that's... It's weird that all of our cell phones kind of have blood on them. Because either the lithium was mined by child labor in Africa, or it was put together by overworked Chinese women in Foxconn factory, or I shouldn't say a specific company, huh? All of those fucking cocksuckers.
We can't single them out now.
I've got enough for everyone.
Yeah. But it's a pretty corrupt world we live in.
It hasn't changed as much as we like to think.
I'm going to take the reefer madness on all the prohibition on marijuana.
And here we are with recreational legalization only 50 years too late.
Yeah.
I think we digressed and I didn't hit my point on the shooting things.
Oh yeah, what's up?
Statistically, in this day and age, more than ever, you are least likely to be killed by another human being. More than anything. Yet we're always harping about violence and... Oh, if that kid hadn't been inspired by Mario Brothers to stomp on people... No. There was violence, and therefore, there are violent video games. There was sex, therefore, there is porn.
Simple.
I guess porn is probably the best, most basic, relatable example. Maybe that's why people compare video games to that kind of shit all the time.
It's an easy out. I still think that we should be looking more at the pharmaceutical drugs that these kids are on rather than what they've done. Well, I mean, we have to look at what they've done and what they did. And you know, I think that the pharmaceutical drugs are more to blame than their own actions, almost.
I can understand if, you know, you can say ignorance for the first couple of occasions.
Yeah.
But now we're reaching the point where there's people who have been on antidepressants from, like, the start of puberty till now, and they're, like, in their 40s.
How do 30s. When a pharmaceutical drug like that comes out, how do they know what the long-term effects are? Is it just testing it on rats? Is that what they do?
Yeah, and you can determine if it damages the brain and obvious behavioral changes, like suppressing appetite and that kind of shit, but...
I wonder how many rats were given guns and put in a little rat colony with lots of baby rats.
Oh, that's an interesting experiment right there,
yeah.
And morally questionable. develop a rat cage that has some kind of rat-equipable weapon.
The thing is, like, if we test things on rats, how are we going to know that they're going to cause that kind of behavior? I mean, the rats don't have weapons. They might go up and eat one of their faces or something like that, like it happened in Miami.
But in the control group that has no drugs, they'll eat the face of any of the rats that die, too, because they're rats.
Or if they're hungry.
Yeah. I don't underestimate what they can feel, but they definitely express things differently than us, and
yeah,
in a seemingly less complicated way.
Oh yeah, and the stresses that we have that rats don't have, like, oh, I gotta go over to the water bottle, oh, I gotta go over to the corner and poop, oh, I gotta go get some food, oh, we gotta go climb the water bottle and try to find a way out. That's about it. Maybe get on the wheel, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you dropped yourself naked in the woods, you'd be like, gotta get warm,
yeah.
I'm hungry, I gotta shit. You know,
dude, we'd be crazy if everyone was instantly out in the woods, all naked, and just nothing. Like, that would be it'd be chaos.
That's what the aliens will do.
Strip us and throw us.
You guys fucking fucked it up. So we're going to take away all the technology.
Yeah, we seen that thing that you did with your toys over in Japan. You're not getting those anymore. You fucked around in the sandbox and you got your shit taken away. Now suffer.
See, it's remarkable how much we do have in common with rats. Like, overpopulation studies are particularly analogous to humans.
I don't know about overpopulation. Like, I think the Earth is pretty much okay. It's just that we don't know how to feed everybody because nobody wants to feed themselves. They want to go to the store.
I think we can do that, but I'm talking about population density. Like,
okay, yeah, if we were to spread out everything, it would be cool.
Yeah, if there's enough room.
No.
Which, you know, we could have enough room. There's a way. There's this thing called space.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a billion planets, and the majority of them have got to be uninhabited. So,
I don't know, man. Have you seen the video of the tether that was lost by NASA at the space station?
Tether?
Yeah, they had like a tether. It was like a mile or something long, and it like floated out, and it was all stretched out, like almost straight. I don't know how. Force.
Inertia, it just goes out, yeah. And there's no air to make it
wobble,
change anyway. Direction in any way.
The sky, or the picture, it was a black picture with just this basically white beam.
Yeah.
The tether
was the only
there.
Reflective part in the picture.
And then hundreds of little globes of light, all various sizes, surround it and start like, it's pretty gnarly to watch.
Okay, we're looking this one up.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. If it's true that
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
If that's really true, and we've seen quite a few just on Earth different life forms that can handle anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying maybe it's an inevitability. Like we're finding lots of extrasolar planets now that are like most stars seem to have planets. Most Earth-like planets might have life, or yeah. Might have life that we can actually relate to.
Yeah. You know the Prime Directive, where, you know, you don't make first contact unless they have warp capabilities?
Yeah.
Maybe first contact is withheld until you're able to acknowledge that there are other species in the universe, instead of getting warp or whatever.
So you have to...
Because, like, if we could see and, like, you know, we had a really powerful telescope, because we didn't develop our engines, we developed our telescopes, and we could see the planet, and we could see it clearly, and there's obviously, like, cities. Maybe it's a post-industrial age or something. I don't know. I think that'd be kind of crazy to see.
Well, you know how the Hubble telescope can pretty much see infinitely deep? Well, not infinitely, but... So
really
far
deep.
As to be a picture of something that you could never reach, mm-hmm. ever, in by conventional means.
Because by the time we make it to it, it's already been, like, the time, or it's,
yeah,
like,
it could
expired.
Be completely burned out, like... A neighboring star system probing us could maybe get a picture of Earth, or at least, like, Jupiter or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have taken one picture of of an extrasolar planet, and it's in infrared. Hmm. It's just a little dot.
That doesn't surprise me, but...
But it is a picture of the planet. Mm. It does show it in visible wavelengths.
It's there. We found it.
We just need, like, a higher resolution. More megapixels.
Megapixels. We need a gigapixel.
They want to build the next generation Hubble telescope on the dark side of the moon so that it's always shrouded in night.
That'd be cool.
And then they'd have two satellites on the equator of the moon to maintain line of sight with it. Like an Independence Day, starring our favorite person, Jeff Goldblum. So, rats that can use guns? That's, how would they pull the trigger? How would they decide to pull the trigger?
With their
Will
tails.
They understand that I'm going to destroy something? So, maybe we should administer the antidepressants to chimps that know sign language or something.
I'm severely depressed.
And that's how we create a horrible, horrible slave race. Ugh. Or monkeys? Can they? Well, yeah, monkeys. Monkeys are malevolent fucking creatures. Yeah. You could have an island that's populated by rhesus monkeys, and you just drop a crate of AK-47s fully loaded out there and just
see what happens.
Or like a miniature version, so that a monkey-sized version.
What about that? Was it you that was telling me about this, like, little section of jungle that has been surrounded by farmland and slowly taken
over?
Yeah,
it used to be like African villages around it, and they farmed a little bit, and over time, as they got more successful, they ended up surrounding this oasis of jungle land, and now they can't go any further. They've made it as small as they can because the apes that live in it will fuck them up.
We need to drop a crate of guns for them.
There you go. Bows and arrows and shit.
Yeah. If they can somehow manage to not kill themselves, that might be where the Planet of the Apes begins.
You remember Coco the gorilla that knew sign language and had a kitten and shit?
Yeah.
How come we never try to teach them bushcraft or something? Send them back into the jungle with, like, here's how you make traps. Here's how you make bows. Oops. You'd be hiking through the jungle and you
step in a monkey trap.
Yeah, you'd step on a sharp stick covered in monkey shit. And then, like, a whole bunch of miniature Reese's monkey-sized darts with poison on them would hit you in the chest and you just collapse. They'd rip chunks of your face off.
Probably beat you unmercifully.
They always, they rip off your hands or feet first. Then they, rip off your... I don't remember. It's either your face or your balls. And it's like...
disarming.
Yeah, they disarm you first, then they rip off your junk so that you can't breed, and they rip off your face so that nobody would want to breed with you anyway. They'd like, fuck your...
They're vicious.
Polygenerational stomp you the fuck out.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ancestors.
Yeah, that's who our closest cousins are. So, I guess what I'm saying is people need to just deal with their violence or whatever. Which is why video games are so great for that.
Yeah. They're, you know, a great outlet, I bet.
And I don't mean World of Warcraft or... what? Yeah, what's another one where somebody has sat at it till they died?
EverQuest?
Yes, EverQuest.
Kid killed himself over that crazy one.
A Korean mob boss had someone killed over hacking his lineage account, I believe.
Whoa.
That's a pretty weird one.
Yeah. There was a Dark Age of Camelot. That was one of those.
Yeah, that was one of the ones from about 10 years ago.
They're all pretty much online now.
A lot of them, they don't have you pay for them anymore. You, like, buy trinkets and shit in the game.
Yeah, I've noticed that with a lot of cell phone games. Free to play, but if you want the good shit, you gotta pay real money. There's not very good drops anymore.
What's the point of having drop rates if you can buy all the shit?
There's not.
I don't know. When I try to rationalize it, I eventually just come to the conclusion that I should start playing Dungeons and Dragons or something. Just fuck it entirely.
At least that one works out your mind a little bit more, because you have to create your own dungeon, and you need a dungeon master, I believe. I don't know. I played it once for like 2 hours, and then I just had to leave.
I can understand that. I've heard that you're not supposed to play it for more than about that long.
Oh, well, then
you're supposed to, because you can leave off and pick it back up anytime. Like,
yeah, because it's all like written down and cataloged.
But you don't have to do the same thing over and over again in that game either.
No, man, it's got a 1% chance to drop the unique trinket that gives me stamina.
On the topic of survival, because I was thinking about this the other night, a pack of playing cards.
Fuck yeah, anything like that. Yeah,
even some dominoes, some chips.
I have gambling dice in my pack.
Nice.
And actually an assortment of crazy dice. So that I can hike into some apocalypse camp and be like, want to gamble for a drink? And then I get free drinks and set up a gambling racket by the town with bottle caps.
This might sound a little Stone Age, but I have a lot of board games too.
Board games are great for non-powered stuff.
Yeah. You know, we don't really have that big of a problem with power outages here in Spokane.
No, it happens maybe once a year for a couple hours.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're really fortunate to have the hydroelectric dam that we do. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, we sell off extra power, which is awesome.
Yeah, but we don't see any of that. It just goes to the power company.
Well, maybe I should build my own dam with blackjack and hookers.
Upstream from the one that we have here.
Oh, man. I wonder if you could do that. Just if you had enough money. Just like,
I want to build a dam right here.
Hey, I bought the lot next to the dam.
Let's build a new one.
Another dam.
I don't think, would that really, would that hinder, I mean, once it was all said and done, would it compromise the original dam at all?
I think so.
Well, shit. Because once the reservoir got so full, it would just, you know, overflow, flood Coeur d'Alene. That's okay.
I don't think it'd be that big. Yeah, well, fuck. Is there a finite amount of power? Because the water's flowing through it, and the energy, like, it's put back in a higher potential energy by the clouds and glacier shit.
Glaciers. I don't know. No, but I know that the stream at the base of the dam is always really shitty.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing going on there.
If you follow the Colorado River into Mexico, it just peters out into nothing in the desert because it's been dammed so many times. It never reaches the ocean.
That's fucked.
There's got to be a lot of rivers that don't reach the ocean, dams or no. But we always think of water as flowing to the sea. So yeah, you could build a dam upstream and be like, I'm jacking your power. I'm gonna sell my own power.
Right. Go fend for yourself, California.
No, I'd approach California and be like, you want some power? Hmm? What are you willing to pay? Double it. And again, double it. No!
First rule of acquisition, once you have their money, never give it back.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a very important rule.
That's the first one.
There's no canon second one. Goes to the third one. Never spend more on an acquisition than you have to.
It's true.
I wouldn't memorize them if they weren't awesome.
Yeah.
Then it goes to number 5. Never allow family to stand in the way of opportunity.
Uh,
You were talking about the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
I noticed it in Deep Space Nine especially. Several times Sisko is reprimanded for trying to interfere with an internal Bajoran affair. Like when there's a coup. But the Prime Directive doesn't apply there. Not only do they have warp-capable ships, but they've invited the Federation into their government. And the Federation agreed to that. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Poor Sisko.
I think Janeway does some shit like that, too, where she's referencing some species that has a ship right in front of them, but it's like,
we can't, because of the Prime Directive, blah, blah.
I think it was in regards to, like, a replicator or some weapons or something.
Yeah, which is bullshit. She should have said, no, because I don't like your fucking face. Fire phaser.
We respect that.
Shit. I'm out of shit. We can pick a song if you want.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Since we were kind of leaning towards like the world elites and whatnot, that kind of ties back in with JFK and whatnot.
Grassy Knoll or Magic Bullet?
Or from the car behind him?
Or the driver of the car? Just reach back and Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was executed, basically. There's a bunch of weird shit about, like, Lee Harvey Oswald being probably on an antidepressant or something.
Yeah.
He was fucked up in the head.
And what's up with him, like, being assassinated himself, like, right away?
Yeah, by Jack Ruby.
What happened to that guy? Did he get rid of jail?
I heard a conspiracy theory that he is Lee Harvey Oswald. Or wait, I have that name right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I get him confused with John Wilkes Booth.
The one that shot Lincoln?
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy similarities between those two, too.
True.
Weird. I think it was like the Illuminati or Masonic sort of symbolisms and whatnot.
Freemasonry.
How about the Georgia Guidestones? How about those things? Those are weird.
Is that the one with the, like, maintaining population of so and so, and it has, like, some, like, calculations of pi or something on 500 it?
500 million.
Nah. We can go way bigger than that. Safely.
And it's in a bunch of different languages, too.
Yeah, that's weird.
Even Sumerian.
I wonder if there's anything like that, like, in a Assyrian temple or a, you know, ancient Canaanite temple. Just some guy was like, yep, I think this is the right number.
You know, did you hear the backstory of how the Georgia Guidestones came to be?
I've heard it was, like, some rich guy, well, obviously, but Illuminati related
it was like the Freemasonry.
Masonry, yeah. Yeah.
But it was like just some random dude paid like 30 people to do it, and they did it, and it's just fucking out in the middle of nowhere. Or not in the middle, I don't know where it is. It was probably in Georgia.
Maybe he's trying to set up some kind of tourist trap. Like, he's just appeared on my property one day.
They're not really secretive about where the backstory. They don't really give out the dude's name. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, we did this and it cost this much. And they're not really secretive about it. At least the people that put it together, put it there, aren't really all that secretive about it. But, yeah.
I think there's a high likelihood that those stones would end up underwater in the event of a cataclysm.
Yeah.
Where you might have to go back to looking at some monument for guidance.
Yeah.
Rather than what balloon up to 10 billion and a bunch of people starve and that'll be horrible and we'll claim to have learned our lesson, but then we'll go out in space and colonize planets and then an entire planet of people will starve or go like Donner Party. The Donner Planet. It's full of cannibals and weirdo...
Just wild.
Semi-descendant.
Feral humans.
Fuck, did you ever see the movie, I think it's like Pandorum or something like that? It takes place in this colony ship, like Earth was beyond repair, and they managed to scout out a suitable replacement. And they sent this ship to full of a bunch of people in stasis out to reach it, and everyone was in stasis. So, you know, one or two of the crew would wake up and do maintenance, and there was some kind of catastrophe, or, well, not a catastrophe, they got, like, hit by meteorites or something that woke up the captain, and he ends up going insane and waking up a bunch of people before they get to the planet, and they've done this weird biotechnology virus thing that they put into everybody's DNA that made them super adaptable for when they get to the new planet. So, like, if, you know, the fruit's poisonous, they would get used to the poison after a couple generations.
Oh, cool.
But since they were trapped on the ship, they adapted to the ship and they turned into these weird cannibals with sharp teeth and, like, they'd have weird, like, tribal stuff made out of pieces of scrap metal from the ship and...
Whoa.
Run around
totally
eating
feral.
Each other. Yeah. Anyway,
that's
a weird one.
That is a wild one.
And, that's what I was reminded of.
I really like our idea of the pylons.
For making colonies?
Yeah.
So that you can pump out a bunch of atmosphere?
Atmosphere and energy, and pretty much whatever you need right there.
Just be like a big pillar in the center of town.
Yeah.
That people would build their settlements, right?
Yeah.
You'd have a de facto city organized. Like, no need for urban planning, really. Just the middle is the... You know, the maintain the atmosphere part.
Yeah.
And then a ring around that is like your bazaar or your commercial district or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just everyone's houses spiraling outward. And you could repeat a ring of commercial shit. A 7-Eleven ring. In fact, that's what it'll be. The 7th section out, commercial, and the 11th. And we'll just keep using multiples of that should the colony get that big. But I think after a while you do a separate pylon somewhere else and just have a road in between or something.
Or maybe by the time you need it, the atmosphere will be made enough. Like, you probably need a couple pylons at strategic locations around the planet to generate enough atmosphere to get the planet to make its own atmosphere.
Well, part of it is that it would... also be a magnetic shield,
mm-hmm.
like to simulate our protective magnetic field that
right.
keeps the solar wind from whipping the atmosphere right off into space.
Right. Well, I kind of think of like a puddle of water, you know, if it gets so big, it'll conjoin.
Like when T-1000 gets shattered.
Yeah, exactly. And then he melts and comes back together. I like to think of it like that. Magnetism is just kind of like water, except not.
Yeah, well, all of the features of the sun are magnetic, and that looks like giant fluid. Like something you'd see if you look at your fish tank on acid. So we've kind of almost set ourselves a nice chain of what the human race needs to do in this episode.
Should we go over what they need to do?
Fuck yeah. First, get your mind right.
Yeah.
With the drugs and the whatnots.
Yeah. Stop just shooting each other.
Just smoke a little pot if you have to, and then fucking work on spaceships.
Yeah, let's focus this crazy energy. When the girl says no to you and you don't want to go out or something like that, let's just do something good and not go to school and shoot people.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
And if you really, you truly can't take it, and you're going to commit suicide, start with yourself. So that you don't take a whole bunch of other people with you. You do yourself first, and then if you can keep going, I guess you've earned that right.
Oh, it's horrible to make light of it, but it's true. If you can get...
I'm dead fucking serious.
Yeah, if you're going to kill people, you should start with yourself. And then move on to others.
Yeah. And when I say start with yourself, I don't mean start cutting on yourself neither.
Mm-hmm.
Really sad to be in a bar or something, having drinks. Someone's talking to you and, like, you glance at their forearm and there's a nice column of fine white scars on their skin.
Yeah, that's awkward.
So, get your mind right. We gotta feed everyone. That's kind of equal priority.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot easier to be happy if you're not starving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true.
In fact, I don't know. You don't feel much of anything if you're truly hungry, like starving hungry.
Yeah.
It's just focus on food and
eat. Oh, gun laws. Have you been up on those?
A little bit, yeah.
I hear that
stuff's gonna get banned.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Especially with, you know, why they're saying that they need to be taken, when obviously the more relatable thing between all these is the pharmaceutical drugs that they've been on.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything on the news about that. I've had to go to the internet and do my own research.
Yeah.
And other people already have, and have been kind enough to post that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they do ban the majority of guns, it won't really matter.
Well,
it just will cause a bunch of people to hoard what they have.
Yeah. I don't know, wasn't it the last time they tried to take the guns? It was the Civil War? Or led to the Civil War?
Well, they had an assault weapon ban for a while, although that's not, like outright banning guns.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think it's enforceable, though. So, like, if I've got a gun, and you say, give me your gun, I'm a fool not to give you a bullet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, if we're gonna be potentially ripping each other's faces, hands, and balls off in an ape-like rage.
Yeah. Vaccinations, the cure for humanity?
Vaccinate against humanity?
Yeah, I think Bill Gates was filmed saying vaccinations are the key to saving the planet. Because through a vaccination, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Using a retroviruses?
Yeah. There's lots of weird things that have been going on involving vaccinations and things like that.
Well, supposedly, just through evolution, we've incorporated several hundred viruses into our genome just because they infected somebody's sperm that got somebody pregnant or the egg, whichever.
A virus that affects the
lends itself to it, but is latent.
Yeah.
Just splicing it into the DNA doesn't necessarily activate it.
Wouldn't that make more of an immunity?
Santa!
But wouldn't the virus going through that route make more of an immunity for the future child?
Definitely if the virus was expressed, because it would be expressed like when you're still relying on your mother's immune system, you'd develop the antibodies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But if it was just latent, like, okay, so it infects some sperm cell at exactly the right time to get incorporated into the DNA. That changes its whole program, because it would execute if it was just by itself floating there. The strand of DNA would make a protein that became the virus sheath or whatever you call that. Hmm. So just like a piece of DNA with a protein built around it instead of any structure, organelle, just a ball of dangerous goo. But if it's, you know, if it's in between, like, your sexual behavior gene and your I'm gonna get cancer gene, that, you know, maybe you'd activate it, though, and you just turn into your whole body just cocoons up and you turn into a macro virus and break into pieces and
fly around stinging people.
Wild. See, since it's all protein, like, if they could get that big, they could be potentially bulletproof or heatproof or be like a big plate of steel that's trying to kill you. But made out of, like, carbon nanotube. Okay, so a carbon fiber car hood that's trying to kill you. Just that part, though.
Wild.
So,
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
So, get our minds right. I feel that encompasses the guns and the drugs. Mm-hmm. So that we can, hell, just have enough manpower to generate enough food to feed everyone.
And we need more farmers.
So that we can have people build big-ass spaceships that we can all hop in and do that all that over again on another planet. Continuously, so that we can build pylons on those planets. Colonize them. And then eventually, we'll be everywhere in the universe, right?
It won't matter if Earth gets destroyed, because it'd be like a little hiccup in the system.
We just coldly observe it scientifically, because there'd be 1,000 others just like it. And we took some DNA from the bear and the wasp and the...
If everybody wanted to, they could
jellyfish.
Get off the planet.
Yeah, the
jellyfish. Ah, the majestic jellyfish.
They should sequence jellyfish DNA and breed one that can survive the vacuum of space.
Whoa.
Just a giant solar sail with tentacles.
That can paralyze you if it stings you.
See, eventually we will be able to grow our own life form just by editing DNA the way we edit a web page.
God, that'd be wild.
So you could explore space that way.
Biomechanically.
You could grow a creature that can send radio signals back to us.
You could grow a creature that has this little orifice that holds you that can fly around the universe.
That would be probably the easiest part. And it has some weird bioluminescence in its belly that grows a bunch of fungus for you to eat, or
yeah,
you know, weed plants, or
whatever.
Shit. Oh, all right. Alright, let's do it.
Bioengineering.
Who needs Prozac when you can eat space shrooms for life while you live in a giant leviathan?
And then he came down from the heavens on his dragon of fire.
Yeah, shit. Sounds like the Norse gods again.
Yeah.
Although, I think it's Isaac Asimov that says any sufficiently advanced technology appears to be magic.
Oh, yeah.
So, fucking, alright, I'm built. So, breed a space whale after the pylons. Or you could during have, you the could pylons have, could be as part of the space.
Yeah, they could be their own space whale, or like a space coral.
There you go.
Like it's just this fixed object that you shoot off, and it just grows and happens to be really magnetic.
Grows into this big tower of weird atmosphere generating, magnetic field generating. Whoa! Where it would have to gain energy from somewhere. I guess it could do solar.
But remember the whole theory behind the pylons was like Nikola Tesla's tower power.
Oh, true, true.
But we, slap a few magnets on there, get it to create some magnetic atmosphere and whatnot.
Yeah, so we just do like a resonance thing.
Yeah. But if we could do that biomechanically, so we had a creature that just sort of lumbered around and it could while even, doing like, it.
You could shoot the coral down, and it has some. We've provided it with some starting amount of energy through whatever means, and it enters the first part of its life cycle, and grows these weird tentacle wind sail things that pick up solar energy and transmit it back to the base. And then, more of the coral grows, and more of the coral grows. Mm-hmm.
Until it's consumed the entire planet. We'd have to have a cutoff point.
It would let go of the solar sails at one point and start up its magnetic field generator thing.
Which would be its final phase of life.
It has to live pretty much indefinitely.
But that would be the last stage. It wouldn't die, but it would just stop there.
It would end up like that plant that only blooms once every 300 years or something. It has one other stage that's like a sexual stage, right?
Yeah.
So it can make more corals and make more space colonies. Once every Bakhtun, it blooms. And there's a big ass party.
Hail.
Yeah, it hails big pollen things that's all protein, man.
You eat that shit.
Yeah, they eat it, but then, some of it's carried around in the atmosphere and impregnates another coral. And the flower, comes in on itself and builds up tons of pressure. As the seed develops, it's building pressure in the base, and when the seed's mature enough, shoots off into space.
Until it finds a new place to land and start the whole process again.
Yeah, and since it doesn't care, maybe it lands on an asteroid. Now we have a weird little asteroid that can support life. At least in some part of it. Or it lands on Titan. And it's like, hey, let's do this minus 200 degrees shit. Methane snow.
We could have it so its body temperature is regulated.
Yeah, well, so like it generates its own power, right?
Yeah, it generates its own power, so it's always like a temperate 70 degrees.
Just in the pocket of its life force.
Yeah.
It could adjust its bioluminescence to grow our plants.
It could have two sides, one blue and one red.
and it switches, just slowly fades each other. That way it would work on, a dark planet. Or you could even set it so that if it hit like a gas giant, it could adapt to that, or, you know, change its strategy.
Well,
slingshot itself out around the planet and check out something else.
Land on its moons.
Hell yeah. An ice moon. And just starts slowly melting a pit in the ice. Until it reaches a subterranean ocean and spreads out like traditional coral everywhere. Converts all the water into a weird misty atmosphere.
And then we show up on our weird whale things.
Yeah, of course. Hell, the weird whale things could be attracted to the stray seeds. Like, oh, there we go. So if it starts entering a gas giant, you know, because the gravity would be different, it would be able to detect that and would emit like a signal, signal.
Help me beacon.
Yeah, and then the Leviathans are like,
oh. And the universe would erupt in their song.
And they'd use the resonance of that shit to pinpoint it and just pick it up.
Or the resonance just deflects it on its own.
Well, it's like sonar, right? So they're all talking to each other and figuring, like, saying, who's going to go get that seed? I hear something calling for help. I got to poop. I'm hungry.
The collective Leviathan consciousness.
Yeah.
With its harmonics.
And they act just like rats. But in space.
I was thinking kind of like ants, but...
I'd prefer ants, actually.
A lot more.
They should be more like...
Do ants poop?
They have to. Everything has to poop.
Everything does poop, yeah. I've never seen ant poop. I've seen a fly poop once. That was wild. That's really wild.
Insects. No. I don't want that existence.
Yeah.
I'm not programming any space insects. Just space whales.
We're leaving those on Earth. In fact, the space whales will have the special sensor to tell us if there's an insect.
Inside, yeah. And their immune system just attacks it.
It just destroys it with lasers.
So you're just walking down the hall. And, what the fuck was that?
Oh, it's just a bug zapper. No big deal.
So, shit, we've done 1:12 already.
Well, that's cool.
Let's, pick a good song. Something about whales in space.
What was Star Trek 6?
Oh, you mean 4?
4.
Voyage Home.
Yeah.
Save the whales.
Yeah. Did that have the typical Star Trek theme, or what was it?
I think it was the typical.
Protoss theme.
Oh, there you go. There's a good one. Don't even have to stream that one.
Yeah, StarCraft really did have a really awesome soundtrack.
Yeah, Glenn Stafford, the composer, is pretty fucking good. So, remember, if you're listening to this, you can ask us questions or berate us senselessly by emailing cryptodome@4040ad.com.
You can also leave comments on the webpage, too.
True. Discuss an individual episode in the comment thread. Anything else?
No, just have a good day.